Oben.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's on the line?
It's Edwin Berlin from French Magazine Gradia.
Again, please.
Yona Bob from the Jerusalem Post.
Thank you. We'll just wait for a few more people to finish joining the line before we start. Please state your name when you join the line. Your name and news agency.
Yeah, Adrian Bernheim from French magazine Grazia.
Thank you.
This is HJ from Karim News.
Thank you. Great, so we're waiting for a few more people to join the line before we begin. Wait for a few more people. Give it 2 more minutes to 3 o'clock for everybody to join. Hello, welcome to the line. Please state your name and news agency if you just joined.
Binyamin Rose, Mishpacha.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just wait a few more minutes for everybody to join. In just another minute, everybody will be on. Also, please mute your phone line during the briefing.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the line. Who just
Hi,
joined?
Tyler. It's Tamar.
Tomorrow, perfect. We're going to start in about 2 minutes, just waiting for everyone to join.
Okay.
For people who should be on this call. If you have not done so yet, please state your name and news agency.
Me or the others?
No, everyone else. It's people who just joined. Hello, welcome to the line. Please state your name and news agency.
Hello, the Spanish news agency.
Spanish news agency, thank you.
Thank you.
Just joined. Please state your name and news agency.
Hi, Sharon, Baltimore Sharon. Jewish Life.
Thank you. Start. For 1 or 2 more people, but hopefully they'll join. Please mute your phones during the conference so we can hear the speaker clearly.
Entonces, no creo que tampoco sea muy importante, pero no sé, no creo que tampoco mucho, pero bueno, por si acaso.
Please mute your phone during the conference. Okay, so pretty much everyone is here. So we're going to start the phone conference, and anyone who joins in will just join. Welcome to the phone conference on Iranian protests and the role of social media. Thank you all for joining. Welcome to the line. As we all know, Iranians have been protesting for about a week. For about a week now, the Iranian authorities continue to restrict access to social media. The demonstrations erupted initially against the backdrop of rising food and gasoline prices, but have grown into a lot more. Dr. Tamar Elam-Gindin will discuss this. She is the author of several books on ancient Persia. She researches Iranian social media and Telegram channels, Currently, she is a core faculty member at the Middle East Program at Shalem College of Liberal Arts in Jerusalem and is a research fellow at the Esri Center for Iran and Persian Gulf Research in Haifa University. She aspires to be Israel's first cultural attaché in a free Iran. Thank you for doing the call with us. Can everyone please keep their phones on mute while she speaks, and we will take questions at the end. Thank you very much, Dr. Tamar.
Hi. Thank you all for joining me. I've started to write something when I only wrote poems. In the past 7 days, we've been witnessing a wave of protests sweeping all over Iran. And when I say all over, I mean all over. The relevant hashtag is Tazahorate Sarasari, meaning demonstrations all over. And I'm following anti-regime activists and groups and channels, and I can tell you I've seen all the calls for demonstrations, where and when for each city, and these cities are numerous. I think it's over 100 cities in which there are demonstrations. There are not many people in each demonstration. The main difference between 2009 and today, the logistic difference, is that in 2009 it was mostly in big cities and a lot of people. You could see people covering the streets, and now it's more places. It started as protests over the economic situation, against corruption, and personally against President Rouhani. The only prophecy I allowed myself to make during my whole career as Iranist was when people streamed to the streets to celebrate the nuclear deals and the improvement in their economic state. I said they are going to be disappointed. The changes are not fast, and the economic improvement for the individual citizen is much slower than that of the state, which is not overnight either. The disappointment also played a major role in the election last May, but Rouhani was elected after all. I'll go back to that. The corruption they protest against refers mostly to retirement funds that were embezzled. Many of the first protesters were much older than the average protester. It was retired people who lost all their money due to corruption. And they shouted, "Ma inqilab kardim che ishtibah kardim," we've made a revolution, what a mistake we made. Now, in the beginning, it was in periphery cities. Most other demonstrations started in Tehran and then spread to other cities. In this case, it took 3 days for the demonstrations to reach Tehran. Another difference is that in the beginning, they were not suppressed. 2 days of free demonstrations with hardly any security forces trying to suppress the demonstration. The fact that it started against Rouhani, and the fact that it started in the periphery made the Iranians believe, and I present it as a belief, but practically every Iranian I talk to presents this as a fact. They say that the regime is behind this, because there's a lot of tension between President Rouhani, who is the head of the executive branch, meaning he's not a decision maker, he's an executive, and the leader, Khamenei, who is really the one who makes the decisions. There is always more tension between the president and the leader on the second term of the presidency, because he's not about to be reelected. So he a little more free with what he wants to do. Now, the Hardars don't like Rouhani. He's too moderate for them. He's too open to the West. Yes, he did bring about the end of the sanctions, which is what he was elected to do. But they don't like him, and word in the street is that the regime organized these demonstrations in order to overthrow Rouhani, and it looked like the people did it. However, they didn't think that if they let people protest and don't suppress the protests, maybe people will go out on the street not knowing it was regime organized and not knowing that they were supposed to only shout against Rouhani, and people will say what's on their mind. So deteriorated very fast to anti-regime protest. Now the demonstrations are totally against the Islamic Republic. It's not just about the economic situation, it's about the Islamic Republic. In 2009, that's another difference, major, very important difference between the 2009 demonstrations and the demonstrations this time, is that in 2009, they said, we elected one president for the Islamic Republic, and we got another president. Voting in the elections is, in a way, saying you believe in the system. It's giving some credit to the system. And what it was about, what I want for the Islamic Republic. Now the demonstrations are, we don't want an Islamic Republic. We want a separation of church and state. We want equality between men and women. We want to cancel the whole religious leader post. We want free elections. We don't want mandatory hijab. A just distribution of wealth still remains from the original economic demands. We want an independent judiciary. We want independent press. We want freedom. We don't want the Islamic Republic. The slogans we heard in later demonstrations, when I say later, it's hours later. The slogans we heard are things like, they made Islam a ladder to climb and they trampled us, meaning they stole our Islam. There were shouts calling the Shah to return to Iran, a Shah Iran Bagad be Iran, which is something that most Iranians don't want, but the current situation is definitely worse than the Shah. Excuse me. We see that they don't want they want to be secular. It's some people think that religious people are pro-regime and secular people are anti-regime. It doesn't work both ways. People who are pro-regime are usually people who get something from the regime, posts, money, Kool-Aid, things like that. There are many religious people who oppose the regime. There are ayatollahs in jail. There are ayatollahs who don't recognize Khamenei as a religious authority. They don't recognize his title because he didn't get it the usual way. He got it in a political way instead of a religious way. So there are a lot of people who feel that they used Islam in order to trample us, in order to make money for themselves. But this is not really stole. They stole our religion too. The organization of the protests is mostly through social media. I follow a few activists and channels, and in each channel I see calls for demonstrations. For example, in Mashhad, in this and that square, at this time of the day. In the past few days, they did start, the government does suppress the demonstrations. My sources in Tehran tell me that you see more security people on the streets than citizens, not only more than demonstrators, more than citizens. One person on Instagram defined it as the feeling is an occupied city. You feel like you're under occupation because there are so many security forces in the streets. One of the drawbacks of relying on social media is that you don't know who's lying. Fake news is everywhere. And because I follow both pro-regime and anti-regime channels and groups, I see that the same reality can be presented in both ways. For example, yesterday, a 13-year-old boy was killed in Khomeini City. And the demonstrators say, see, the guards are killing 13-year-old demonstrators. These are the demonstrators that are fighting against 13-year-olds. While the pro-regime groups say he was killed by demonstrators. Because another thing that's different in these demonstrations than the big wave of 2009 is that these demonstrations are much more violent. they say that they're peaceful demonstrations, but they burn banks, they burn offices, they burn police stations, they burn clergy offices, they beat up clergy. There's a lot more, they shoot officers. So what the pro-regime channels say is that it was demonstrators who shot the boy. But this is not the only thing that you can't really tell, because now I hear from at least two sources that say it's not demonstrators who break the front glasses of banks and stores. It's police officers who break it in order to blame the demonstrators. And others say it's demonstrators who claim they're police officers in order to give a bad name to the police. So it's really very hard to tell who's telling the truth here. The reality I see is that there have been a lot of protests, really everywhere. They did shout anti-regime and anti-Islamic Republic slogans. That's what they wanted. It's hard to tell how wide they were. It's probably tens of thousands of people, but not many more than that. It's less now because more security forces on the street. And the leaders say, the people say it was the regime, the hardliners, that organized the first demonstrations in order to get rid of Rouhani. What the regime says, Rouhani himself, Khamenei in his speech, they say that the U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia, the enemies of Iran, are behind this, and they instigate the people against the regime, although the people are with us. So now a lot of people say, okay, if you think the people are with you, have a referendum, a true referendum, not like the one after the Islamic Revolution, where 98% of the people voted for an Islamic Republic. 98% is more than the percentage of Muslims in the country, let alone religious people. So they say, have a referendum and see. If you really think that people still want an Islamic Republic, have a referendum and we'll accept it. This is the word now. And I'd like to hear questions from you and answer to my best ability.
Thank you very much for the briefing, Tamar. If anybody has questions, please state your name and news agency.
Tamar, this has been Yamin Rose from Mishpacha Magazine. When you were saying about people who were saying that the regime has hijacked the Islamic religion, Persia is a very ancient country, and there's a lot of other religions which are basically were around before Islam. So what other religious tensions are going on behind the scenes that we're not maybe familiar with?
Okay, the religious tension is within Shiite Islam, because there are different streams within Shiite Islam. As I said, there are Ayatollahs that are in jail. There are Ayatollahs that are against the regime. Then there's inside Islam, there's the Shi'i Muslim tension. A lot of Sunni minorities like Kurds and Baluch are discriminated against and they're called terrorists because they act against the regime in violent ways. By the way, the attacks that were, if I remember correctly, in June against targets in Tehran that were taken responsibility by ISIS were done by Sunni Kurds from within the country. So there's the Sunni Shia split, and what my sources tell me is that the Sunnis are more discriminated than other religions that are not Islam. There's only one Sunni mosque in Tehran, which is in the Afghanistan embassy.
Only one then, Sunni mosque, you said?
Yeah, that's what I'm told. And then there are minority groups, such as the Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians are the true or original religion of Iran by the prophet Zarathustra or Zoroaster, which was the religion up until the Islamic conquest in the 7th century of the Common Era. But Zoroastrians are a respected minority. They have their own temples. They're allowed to build new temples. They're They have their own priests and priestesses. Many Iranians who want to, who are nationalists, who want to revert to the original Iranian identity, say that they're Zoroastrian, even though they're not, because it's very difficult to become a Zoroastrian. And the Zoroastrians also have a seat in the parliament. Another minority that has a seat in the parliament is the Jewish minority. Jews are not discriminated against. The situation of the Jewish community is pretty good. There are anti-Semitic incidents, like the one that was last week in Shiraz when a synagogue was desecrated. It didn't get any headlines inside Iran. It got some headlines in Jewish agencies outside Iran. The only Iranian report I saw about it was a report about the report in a Jewish website in the U.S. But the police is taking severe measures against people who perform such anti-Semitic acts, and a lot of Jews from Iran who try to immigrate to Israel go back because they feel better off there, and they have a seat in parliament. Christians have three seats in the parliament, both Armenian Christians and Assyrian Christians. The minority that's really, really, really persecuted is the Baha'is. When Iran was at the negotiations table about the nuclear deal, one of the reasons they stated that they don't want to bend before the West, they don't want it to seem too flexible or too liable for influence, is that now we'll say yes to not developing missiles and next say admit Baha'is into your universities. So the Baha'i religious minority is really, really discriminated against and persecuted minority.
Yonah Bob from the Jerusalem Post. There are reports that social media is being cut off by the Iranian government. So how are they continuing to use social media to coordinate protests if the Iranian government is trying to cut that off?
I get contradicting reports about that from my sources inside Iran. One of them tells me the official report say that there's parasit, which is waves in the air that counter cellular communication, and that the internet is very slow or very restricted or highly filtered. One of my sources said that you need higher technical ability now to bypass all the filters. But another source said, I don't know what they're talking about. I live in Tehran, and I talk on my cellular phone, and I have video chats with people from abroad with very high quality. So in some places, it's not felt at all. The reports might be exaggerated.
What is your expectation as to whether this could possibly get out of control and really topple the regime, or is that a far-fetched fantasy?
Oh, I wish I could prophesy.
Well, you said you gave one prophecy before. Maybe there's room for one more.
Yeah, but that was a prophecy that was, you know, it was a sure bet.
Uh-huh.
This one is not a sure bet. I belong to the analysts who think that the protests will either be violently suppressed or just die away, and there will be no change. But one of the reasons that I take this bet, and not the bet that I see in a lot of Iranian news outlets, or mostly in groups and from activists that I'm in touch with, they say this is the real thing. We're now protesting against the regime because it's so widespread. It's much harder to control and contain. And we're now going to change. The reason I don't take this bet is that if I'm wrong, I want to be wrong about this. I want to be happy even if I'm wrong.
question?
Yeah, Hadron Bernheim from Guardian Magazine. I have a question. How much the women's rights issue is important in those demonstrations? Do you hear about them? Like we saw like a week ago this woman moving a scarf, you know, in the street of maybe Tehran.
It's an excellent question because this woman who was waving her scarf, her white scarf, on a stick in a demonstration in front of security forces, became the symbol of these protests. But the video was taken on Wednesday, and the large wave of protests just started on Thursday. First of all, the large wave started on Thursday, but there were sporadic demonstrations before. But the picture taken on Wednesday was part of a movement called White Wednesday. On one White Wednesday, women express their dissatisfaction with their situation in general and with mandatory hijab by wearing white headscarves. So this was actually part of the feminist protest that's going on every Wednesday for, I think it's more than a year now. And it's part, but it is part of the agenda of the protesters. When they say what we want, one of the things we want is equality between men and women.
The end of November there, Sharon, Baltimore Jewish Life, at the press club, we were talking about nationalism versus Islam. Has that changed in the last few weeks?
It hasn't changed, but we see it more that the regime is trying to present nationalism as supporting, being a regime supporter. For people who weren't there at the in November in that panel, I will say that nationalism in Iran usually means saying I'm Iranian more than Muslim. Well, the regime says we're first Muslim and only then Iranian. And what they're trying to do now is also hijack nationalism for the regime.
The regime is trying to hijack nationalism.
Right, the regime is trying to hijack nationalism.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
I do have one more question. What should the U.S. be doing? Obama was criticized broadly for not encouraging the demonstrations back in 2009. Trump seems to be gingerly supporting them, at least gingerly for him. What would really be the correct position if someone like Trump would really want to, try to foment change and try to be a bit of a rabble-rouser here? Or is it much smarter if he stays away because then everyone could turn against him?
Yeah, it's on one hand, Obama was criticized in 2009 for not stepping in, and now Trump is criticized for overstepping in.
Mm-hmm.
And the regime says it's our enemies, and thus proving that America is behind this. On one hand, the leader of the free world should step in or at least express his support. The problem is that the leader of the free world is Mr. Trump, and Iranians hate him. In his first UN address, he said he did the very right thing. He said good things about Iranian culture and civilization and about this ancient nation with rich culture and heritage. And then he criticized the regime for what it's doing to the people. And only then he said things against the nuclear agreements. But then he did two things that he shouldn't have done. He called Iran a nation of terrorists, and he called the Gulf Arab. Two things that one should not do, because the Gulf is Persian and Iran is not a nation of terrorists. Actually, of most terror attacks or all terror attacks in the past few years were carried out by nationals of different countries. None of the terrorists themselves was Iranian. The Islamic Republic does fund terrorism, but the people are not terrorists. So the fact that Donald Trump steps in and as the person, not as leader of the free world, that's one of the problems with his involvement right now. About Israel and about Saudi Arabia, I can say the right thing to do is keep silent and just hope and pray in your heart. About the U.S., it's tougher. because they need to see that they're supported by the international community.
Thank you.
I have maybe one question, if possible. How much the nuclear issue is the consensus or not a consensus for the Iranian population? I mean, how much is it important for them? How much do they care or not?
About the nuclear agreement or about the nuclear project?
Both. You know, nuclear project, let's say.
Okay. Again, it depends what groups you follow. Because groups of people who are anti-regime say, we have nothing to eat, you know. Do you want us to eat yellow cake? Yellow cake is one of the byproducts of, or one of the steps on the way to a nuclear bomb. They say, we don't have what to eat. In the demonstrations now, they also criticize the regime for giving money to Syria, to Gaza, and to Lebanon instead of investing inside Iran. We want education, we want infrastructure, we don't want the nuclear project. On the other hand, there have also been Facebook groups that said nuclear power or nuclear weapon is a right because all countries around us have nuclear weapons and we have to threat them back. Pakistan has nuclear weapon, Israel, according to foreign sources. We see everyone getting armed, and we can't.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions?
Yes, I do. I have a question. This is Tanya, a German freelance journalist. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You just said about the reaction about the U.S., and could you just elaborate a bit about Israel? Because we had the Prime Minister giving his video messages to the Iranian people, or, you're saying the best they could do is keep silent. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, the problem with Israel expressing support, not Israeli citizens and especially the Israeli Prime Minister, is that it's counterproductive. If you express explicit support for the demonstrators, you play into the hands of the regime because they will see it as a proof that Israel is behind this. So we should keep silent. There have also some Israeli citizens and Iranian nationals living in Israel tried to organize a support demonstration. Support for the demonstration, the demonstrators in Iran, and I advised them strongly not to do that for the same reason. It's not in their benefit.
Thank you very much for the phone conference. Thank you, everybody, for joining.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tamar.
Thank you.
Tremendous thanks to Mark Gilden for this. I learned a lot.
Okay, thank you very much.